Our text today is the parable of the wicked vine dressers. This parable is included in each of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I preached on Matthew's version a couple of years ago, and today we are looking at Luke's version in Luke 20. The immediate context of this parable is that Jesus' authority had been questioned by the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. They came to him and they said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" The parable was given in response to those questions, and it would speak judgment against the Jewish rulers. Now, what were these things that Jesus had been doing? The two most recent things were entering Jerusalem triumphantly, which we'll celebrate next Sunday, and then driving the money changers out of the temple. Those were big public events. It makes sense that people would ask, "Who gave you this authority?" It makes sense, but it's sad that they didn't already know. In Luke 20, verse 9, Jesus said, "A certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to vine dressers, and went into a far country for a long time." A vineyard owner was going on a trip to a far country for a long time. From the Jewish perspective, that would be a Gentile country, same as the parable of the prodigal son that we looked at last week. But unlike the prodigal, the vineyard owner wasn't going away to live sinfully. He's a righteous man in this story. He's a wealthy business owner with employees and servants. So he leased the vineyard to vine dressers who would maintain the property for him, keeping it nice and keeping it fruitful. Eventually, at vintage time, the owner sent a servant to the vine dressers to get some of the fruit from the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat the servant and sent him away empty-handed. The owner sent a second servant, but the vine dressers beat him, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. The owner sent a third servant, but they wounded him and cast him out. Verse 13, "Then the owner of the vineyard said, 'What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him.'" Is that what happened? No. The vine dressers did the same thing to the son. They reasoned among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." The vine dressers stupidly thought that if they killed the beloved son, that they would get away with it and that they would inherit the vineyard. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. The beloved son was now dead. And that's where the parable ends. But then Jesus asked a question based on the parable. He said, "Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to the vine dressers?" The answer being, verse 16, "He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others." Jesus said the owner himself would come. He would return to his vineyard. He would punish the vine dressers for beating his servants and for killing his beloved son. He would destroy them. He would put them to death for the crimes that they committed. And then he would lease the vineyard to new vine dressers. There's some eye for eye justice going on here, which is God's holy and righteous justice. The vine dressers wanted to take the inheritance away from the son. So the owner will take the inheritance away from the vine dressers. They wanted it to go to others, namely themselves, but the owner would give it to a people other than them. And of course, they shed innocent blood, so their blood would be shed. Curiously, after Jesus said this, the crowd said, "Certainly not." And on the surface, it's not exactly clear as to why they responded that way. This detail is not found in the other gospel accounts. This is unique to Luke. Certainly not. What were they saying that about? Were they objecting to the owner destroying the vine dressers? Or that he would lease the vineyard to others? Or were they objecting to both? The answer, I think, is found a little later in verse 19. It says, "The priests and scribes knew that the parable was about them." They knew it was about them. They knew Jesus was placing them in the story as the vine dressers. They were the vine dressers, and God was the owner. When Jesus said, "The owner will destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others," they knew he was saying that God would do those things to them. When they said, "Certainly not," they meant, "Certainly God will not destroy us. Certainly God will not take the inheritance away from us. Certainly He won't give it to some other group." And this makes sense with what Jesus said next, verse 17. "What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." The leaders were denying that they would be judged, denying that God would destroy them and take the inheritance away from Israel. Jesus said, "Oh yeah? Well then what about this verse from Psalm 118 that they had probably been singing and chanting their whole lives? The builders have rejected the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on it will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." The chief cornerstone is Jesus, who is also the beloved Son. The one who gives him authority is God the Father. The parable was answering those initial questions, right? He is the beloved Son, and his authority is from the Father. But the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus. They denied that he was from God. They would kill him, just like in the parable. In the parable, the son was taken out of the vineyard and killed. Likewise, Jesus would be taken outside of Jerusalem and be crucified. No doubt the Jewish rulers thought they had the victory when they did that, just like the vine dressers in the story. They stupidly thought that killing Jesus was a good strategy. But a house without the chief cornerstone will not stand. The Jewish leaders were the builders and the vine dressers who worked in vain. They rejected the stone, so the stone would reject them. The stone would fall on them and destroy them, figuratively and literally. Not one stone from their temple would be left. Jesus prophesied that in the next chapter, that in AD 70, Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed. Jesus is the rock. He is the rock of our salvation and the foundation of the church. And he will either break you or he will crush you. Which option do you think you would prefer? You should want to be broken on top of the stone. If you're on top of the stone is your foundation. You're broken, but it's holding you up. You're broken, but you're not destroyed. You will be humbled, but you will be supported by the stone, who is Jesus. To be under the stone is to be crushed, destroyed, ground to powder by Jesus. That is not where you want to be. Make the stone your foundation. Don't reject the stone, accept it. Don't reject the Son, accept Him. Well, the Jewish leaders were outraged by all of this. Verse 19 says they sought to lay hands on Him that very hour. They were just like the vine dressers, right? The parable was unfolding in real life in that moment. They wanted to lay hands on Him, but they feared the people. So they sent spies to Jesus instead. Spies who pretended to be righteous. They wanted to seize on Jesus' words in order to deliver Him up to Pilate, the governor. They were already plotting this stuff. The Pharisees would go to Jesus and ask about paying Roman taxes. The Sadducees would go to Jesus and ask about marriage in the resurrection. And at no time could they catch Him in His words. In fact, they had to concede, "Teacher, you have spoken well." And they dared not question Him anymore. They tried to destroy Jesus, but they couldn't. Jesus destroyed them. The vineyard was taken away from unfaithful Israel and given to a new Israel, the church. This is what Jesus meant when He said the vineyard would be given to new vine dressers. The vineyard was given to new management. It was taken from the religious elite and given to fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, and children. The outcasts, those who repented of their sins and turned to Jesus, and not only those from Abraham's line, as some Jews believed, but from all tribes and nations. Those from far away Gentile countries where the owner had gone in the parable. The church is now the royal priesthood and kingdom of priests. We are in the vineyard and we are the new vine dressers. Think about that. You are heirs of the vineyard. Jesus refers to you in this parable. As a Christian, you are an heir, and that is something to be grateful for, something to thank God for. But it does come with rules and expectations. After all, we serve the same owner depicted in the parable, and His methods do not change. The parable shows us that God is patient, even with injustices. He will judge injustice. He will punish evildoers, but He will be patient before doing so. He will give them time to repent. And that's a good thing because it means that He will be patient with us when we are in sin. But if we stop being repentant, if we aren't faithful vine dressers, then we too will be judged. Unfruitful branches will be removed from the vineyard. And that's not what God desires for you. He is your Father. He loves you. He wants you to be fruitful with faith and godly living. He delights in you. He delights in your faithfulness. He wants to see it and He wants to enjoy it. He wants you to be a fruitful and faithful vine dresser. The key to that is to become more like the beloved Son. Jesus Himself bore fruit, and He still does. We could call Him the most fruitful man. He's the most faithful man that will ever exist. And he hung from a tree, giving his body and blood for you. And in a few moments, we will receive those fruits. We will eat and drink our fill. Jesus gives us these fruits and the fruits of the Holy Spirit so that you can go out and in turn bear fruit for the kingdom. He will make you fruitful as long as you keep believing and repenting and coming to his table. In Philippians 3, which we read this morning, Paul talks about being conformed to the death of Jesus so that he might attain the resurrection from the dead. He had not yet attained it, but he pressed on toward the goal. And that goal is the same for you and for me. You must press on and press in to Jesus, further up and further in, until you attain the resurrection. When you're restored to your body and freed from sin, just imagine how much fruit you will bear for all eternity. May it be so for you.